When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
It's lunchtime at Tim Hortons, and we're serving up a special deal just for you. Our new $5.99 lunch deal includes your choice of any lunch sandwich and a side of crunchy kettle chips. Because what's lunch without a little crunch? And the sandwich choice is all yours. Like a ham and Swiss, Chipotle chicken wrap, BLT, and more. Made to order just the way you like it. Tim Hortons' new lunch deal. Simple, delicious, and just $5.99. Now that's a good deal. Only at your neighborhood Tim's. U.S. only. Price and participation vary. Terms apply.
Now a word from our sponsor, BetterHelp. Tiffany here from Swish, and I want to talk about being a problem solver. In my classroom, I'm always telling my ICFirsties to be problem solvers. In first grade, that's one thing, but in adult life, it's a whole other. It can be really difficult to train your brain to go into a problem-solving mode. Maybe you don't even know where to start. It's a challenge that we all face in life, but when you learn to better help your brain find solutions, it's truly a great feeling. And if you've ever been thinking of giving therapy a try, BetterHelp is a great option. BetterHelp is convenient, it's accessible, it's affordable, and it's all online. And on top of that, they match you with a therapist just by filling out a brief survey. So when you want to be a better problem solver, therapy can get you there. Visit betterhelp.com/swish today to get 10% off your first month. That's better, HELP.com/swish.
Welcome to Swish and Flick, an All Potter podcast.
Swish and Flick, everyone. Swish and Flick.
Hello and welcome to episode 139 of Swish and Flick. I'm Tiffany.
I'm Megan.
I'm Katie.
And I'm Sunshine Sarah.
And this episode is sponsored by Josephine Garza. Thank you, Josephine.
Thank you.
So today we will be discussing the second half of Chapter 12 of Harry Potter and the Order of the Phoenix, Professor Umbridge. Hooray, I love her. So make sure that you have read the chapter and you're ready to double whammy your way through the details. So let's go for some weekly profit news with Meg's Mouse Tears.
Hey, I thought that we could all use a little bit of theme park magic right now because I know that I am missing it very much. So there was this cool article that I found that is literally like a whole walkthrough, ride through YouTube video of Harry Potter and the Forbidden Journey. So I thought, Tiffany, you might be able to watch it and actually enjoy and see all the scenes in the ride.
I'm here for it. I'm here for it. That'd be great.
It's really cool because it takes you through the whole line, and there's so much to see just in the line itself at the Hogwarts castle.
Mm-hmm.
That there's maybe something that you didn't notice when you walked through it. So they like,
I'm sure, because we basically ran through the line.
Right. So there's a lot to see in it, and they video all of it, and then they do the whole ride, which is not obviously going to be like as cool, but it's still cool. So
I'm gonna do this later for sure.
Yeah. And then I just wanted to give everybody a reminder that Wizardly World of Kent and LeakyCon are both happening in July, and we will be attending both of them. Wizardly World of Kent is taking place on July 25th. It's all day on Saturday in Kent. There's also some festivities on Friday. They have like a bar crawl, and they have a 5K. Mm-hmm. And LeakyCon is taking place the weekend after that, so Harry's actual birthday weekend, and that will be in Orlando.
So we're going to party for Harry.
Heck yeah, we are.
Huge birthday party, just for him.
For sure.
And once we know the schedule of LeakyCon, and if we have any panels that we're doing, etc., we will let you guys know.
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah.
That was quick.
That's all I got.
Tiffany, I'm looking at you.
So is it still Disney Day?
Yeah.
Yeah, of course.
Should I try for Donald?
Oh my god,
yeah. Sure. I cannot do Donald.
I can't either.
Or Goofy.
I am.
That was so good.
How did you do that?
I don't know, but I can't hear myself, so because my headphones, so I don't know what it sounded like.
It was good.
It was amazing.
It was good.
That silence was just shock.
Good. It wasn't like, whoa, that stunk.
No, it was freaking awesome. Okay. I'm all jazzed for this recap now.
All right.
All right. The whole world, everyone, they're all against poor Harry. Except the two people that he keeps taking his frustration out on, but Herm puts him in his place. Probably one of many times in this book. Come. Fred and George are looking for test subjects, which Hermione isn't very happy about. She tries to assert her prefectness, but they don't really want to listen. We have a new Quidditch captain, but who will be the new keeper? I don't know. We won't know till Friday. The trio is having a severe case of the Mondays, and they're off to a rough start for their OWL year.
Yes. Megan, you hid your hand.
I did. I just want to say that tidbit, the whole Quidditch captain, keeper, Quidditch, everything, was one of my biggest beefs with the fifth movie. How they completely changed it.
Harry is captain, right?
No, it doesn't even exist. There's like no Quidditch in five. It
at all.
Ron's not really? On the Ron's yeah. not on the team. They push all
oh,
of this.
Oh, he picks it
to
all,
six.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Yeah, they push all of
this. I was like,
I
don't remember Angelina being there. I'm like, I don't remember all of this. I'm like, I thought this was in the sixth movie. Okay, so I wasn't wrong.
Yeah. So that's, I don't know, it annoys me. Because when I read Order for the first time in a long time, I was like, oh my god. This happens in five, not six. Poor Ron just gets pushed back.
Yep.
Alrighty, brewskis. I always want to say the rest of it, but I won't. It's Snape time. Yeah, guys. It's Jessica's favorite time. Snape time.
Yeah.
He gives them the talk about OWLs, and they try to make a draught of living peace. Obviously, Harry messes up. Sorry, I should say obviously. That's not nice. And then he
Poor
gets
Harry.
0 points for the day. And then it's lunchtime, so they have snacks. And Harry and Ron try to see into the future with their inner eye with divination, but too bad they can't. And to continue on that Manic Monday theme, they also have Defense Against the Dark Arts with Umbridge, where she and Harry butt heads. Which is no surprise, and it ends with Harry getting a week's detention and in McGonagall's office where she offers him a biscuit and some advice.
Yes.
Have a biscuit, Potter.
One of the best quotes.
Yeah.
All right. So I would like to start out my section with a quote from Professor Snape. So this just, mind you, this is the beginning of the year. This is the first day of the year. First potions lesson. Preparing for, like, big stuff. So here we go. It's a pep talk.
Oh, gosh.
Welcome to the TED Talk with Snape.
Before we begin today's lesson, said Snape, sweeping over his desk and staring around at them all, I think it appropriate to remind you that next June you will be sitting in an important examination during which you will prove how much you have learned about the composition and use of magical potions. Moronic, though some of this class undoubtedly are, I expect you to scrape an acceptable in your OWL or suffer my displeasure.
Okay.
Welcome to Potions! Hey. 1995! Ooh! So, as he says this, though, his eyes linger on Neville, who actually, like, gulps in, like, fear. And I'm just
poor
like, this poor Neville. So,
this poor Neville.
Nev. So we find out a little bit more about Snape and his super high standards for potions going into the Newt level. Quote, after this year, of course, many of you will cease studying with me, Snape went on. I take only the very best into my Newt potions class, which means that some of us will certainly be saying goodbye. Or as he actually said, peace out.
Get it? Because they're making the peace, drought of peace.
Get it. I get it.
You say Newt, do you want to say it like Newt? I do, and I struggle with it a lot.
Well, now I do.
Right?
You don't think of it from Monty Python?
No, I usually think of Scamanda.
Oh, it's Scamanda.
Yes. But then I add in, and we touched a smidgen on this our last episode. So when I'm thinking about these classes and at their higher levels, it feels to me like all students should be taking these classes all 7 years at Hogwarts.
Agreed.
To me, they seem that they're essential to everyday wizarding life.
Yeah.
And, like, I think, too, you know, like, even just take the four of us. Like, we don't all, like, our academic stuff, we don't all have, don't excel in the same things. You know what I mean? So, like, I know in our school they had English classes that were, like, you know, honors English or maybe AP. So you could have taken, like, regular English for, like, your junior year. Or you could have taken the same class but honors, so it's a little bit more difficult. I would never have been in any of the honors English classes because that's not my strong suit and that makes me anxious. But, like, with math classes, like, I'd literally have taken, like, you know what I mean? Like, that's my strong suit, like, math, science, like, physics, stuff like that. So I would think that they would have, like, you know, maybe a newt level in potions, but also, like, a potions that might not be, like, as super advanced.
Right.
Into that.
But, like, you know, Neville obviously might not, I shouldn't say obviously, I think that if he had a different instructor, he might perform better. But at the same time, like, that might, again, is might not be his strong suit anyways. Might be out, like, for pulling from puffs, like, a remedial potions where, like,
yeah, right.
You know, Hermione can do.
They do have remedial potions, for real.
Well, I'm saying, like, I won't.
Yeah.
Like, they, I, that's just what I'm thinking, like, a lower level, you know?
Right.
AP, advanced potions,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
No, I get what you're saying, and I completely agree with you. No, when he says that some of them will be saying, you know, peace out, girls and boy scouts, people scouts, he then looks at Harry and his lip curls, and I said, are you thinking of James? So, who knows? Who knows? And then we have another quote, because I can't just summarize Snape.
Yeah.
He's not to be summarized. But we have another year to go before that happy moment of farewell, said Snape softly. So whether you are intending to attempt Newt or not, I advise all of you to concentrate your efforts upon maintaining the high pass level I have come to expect from my owl students. And I said, that's real nice teacher to student interaction there.
Real swell.
Yep. So they're making a potion right off the bat, day one, that shows up in their OWLs, the Draught of the Living Peace. This is a potion to calm anxiety and soothe agitation.
Hey, can I get some?
I was thinking that. And then I was also thinking, well, goodness, if they're successful in making this, they can just take it right after this anxiety-ridden class and feel better.
Right?
Yep.
Goodness. But it's tough. So be warned, if you are too heavy-handed with the ingredients, you will put the drinker into a heavy and sometimes irreversible sleep.
That's some Sleeping Beauty stuff.
Yeah, you need to get that. You need to get that potion correct.
I but hope like, there's a Prince like Philip a nearby. Beauty, just,
I was gonna say, find your true love. It's not Hans. It might be someone else.
Who is this Hans?
Who is this Hans? Surprise! Oh. He's a bad guy.
What?
So Hermione is on point right now. She's sitting up super straight. She's paying attention to every single word. And because he says that Snape, that is, that they need to pay extra attention to what they're doing. So she's like, gotta go. Then Snape shows the class the ingredients and the directions on the blackboard. The things that they need are in the store cupboard, and they have an hour and a half to brew. Are you ready?
Everyone that he is writing on his chalkboard, well, like, you know, magically writing on it, where Slughorn has them reading out of a book, and that's the first time Hermione's not great at potions.
Yep.
But like, at least he knows what he's doing.
Yeah. Right? Because Snape continued to teach Harry in year six, whether he liked it or not.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Spoilers. Yeet. So even in Harry's mind, he feels like Snape set them up for a kind of a failure of a lesson. And he said, maybe, not Hermione. You know, maybe he wanted his students to know just exactly how difficult the owls were. And this is a shock to the system kind of a lesson.
Yeah.
I don't know.
But like, it seems, if you were talking about it earlier, like saying like they kind of figured he was going to give them a hard
yep.
potion anyway. So it must yep. be his MO to like start off with something not easy. You know what I mean?
Just like yeah. Trelawney likes to start off by predicting people's deaths, you know? Real nice. Mm. Dumbledore knows how to pick them.
Just like boogers.
You pick your friends, not your boogers. All right, so the potion is super fiddly, and I was like, what does that mean? Like, I kind of used context clues to figure it out, but I really like this word. It just means complicated or detailed. So I like to consider myself a bit fiddly from time to time. So the ingredients to this potion have to be added in precisely the right order and quantities, and they need to be stirred the right number of times, firstly clockwise, then counterclockwise. The heat had to be lowered to the right level for the exact number of minutes before the final ingredient was added. So this, to me, sounds like some potions are a little lax in how you have to add the ingredients and things like that, and then some potions are like super fiddly like this. So fiddly. So sometimes I just think like maybe simpler potions, you could just kind of like toss some stuff in and there's no specific order. Mm-hmm. But then other ones you don't.
Yeah.
Because otherwise, like, why say this? So I just thought that was pretty interesting about potion making. So when there's 10 minutes left for the lesson, Snape tells all the students that there should be a light silver vapor rising from their cauldrons. And then I want to read the next section because you can feel the thickness of panic in the room. And it's not at the disco.
Sorry, that was funny.
So, quote.
I read sins, not tragedies.
Are you ready?
Yes.
You mean
yes.
You brew sins, not tragedies? Oh. Okay. So, quote, Harry, who was sweating profusely, looked desperately around the dungeon. His own cauldron was issuing copious amounts of dark gray steam. Ron was spitting green sparks. Seamus was feverishly prodding the flames at the base of his cauldron with the tip of his wand, as they had gone out. The surface of Hermione's potion, however, was a shimmering mist of silver vapor. And as Snape swept by, he looked down his hooked nose at it without comment, which meant that he could find nothing to criticize. At Harry's cauldron, however, Snape stopped, looking down at Harry with a horrible smirk on his
face. What a Richard.
So Snape asks, you know, what's this?
What's this?
What's this? What's
There's
this?
There's grease up in your Harry cauldron. Says,
what's this? What's this? The draught of living peace. So Harry's like, yeah, no, it's the draught, you know, it's that peace stuff, peace out stuff. And all the Slytherins are like, snaps it with Harry. Must see.
Right.
Because, you know, they're all eager to hear what he has to say to Harry. And if you remember, this is still kind of rolling over from year four. Most, if not all, of the Slytherin house was against Harry during the tournament. So they're probably kind of still riding that train. So there's this whole conversation that happens, and it ends up that Harry forgets to add an ingredient. So Harry's looking through the directions. He's like, what'd you forget? What'd you forget? Add powdered moonstone, stir three times counterclockwise, allow to simmer for 7 minutes, then add 2 drops of syrup of hellebore. and his heart sinks. He had not added the syrup of Hellebore, but he went right straight to the fourth line of the instructions after allowing his potion to simmer for 7 minutes. And so Snape goes, did you do everything on that third line, Potter? And there's so many sevens and threes.
Yeah, that's crazy.
So I wanted to look up a couple of these ingredients that are specifically mentioned. So Moonstone, I looked up on, what is this called? The SpruceCrafts.com. Hmm. This was written.
Bruce's name is Bruce.
No, it's Lauren Tommen is the article writer, and it was updated on the 13th of October of 2019. So Coolio. Moons, what
I said, Coolio.
Ah,
nothing important.
Coolio, Brulio.
So Moonstone is very, very pretty. It's in a lot of jewelry, and going down because there's like a bunch of information. Moonstone is a mineral of the orthoclase feldspar group and is composed of potassium, aluminum, silicate. It's distinguished from other similar stones by the presence of a word I don't know how to say. Adular essence.
It's soft and can break.
That's why you can powder. You can powder it. Yeah. So that word I can't say is the optical phenomenon that causes an extraordinary glow on the surface of moonstone. So that's pretty cool. Light can move across the stone, much like moonlight would glide across a large body of calm water. It can also reflect light off of the thin layers of the different feldspar minerals within the moonstone. It is super pretty. There's like a picture in the middle from Pinterest of a ring, and it looks like it has diamonds around it. And it's just, it's like super stunning.
I love moonstone.
On the, is it Mohs or Mohs hardness scale? It's between a 6 and a 6.5, which means it's prone to breaking. In its little thin layers. It has origins from way back when, and it was especially prized during full moons. Go figure. It's thought to bring the wearer good fortune and feelings of love and affection.
Cool.
So it wasn't until the early 1900s that the stone became an iconic and important focal point in jewelry, though. You're welcome.
Thank you.
You're welcome. All right, let's go to Hellebore.
Yeah.
Yeah, what
so,
is this?
So Hellebore is...
is it a plant?
A flower.
Oh, okay.
Yes. So there are approximately 20 species of herbaceous or evergreen perennial flower plants in the something big name family, and it says something about a tribe of Hellebore. I don't know how to say these words. Means like winter rose or Christmas rose and Lenten rose. They're not common closely related to the actual rose though. And then many Hellebore species are poisonous, which is probably meant for if you add like too much of it, that's probably the irreversible sleep.
Yeah, for sure.
Just saying.
Yeah.
I've got to sip my coffee in between this. So that's that. Sorry, I don't know how to read, folks, but if you're 139 episodes in, yeah. So Snape tells Harry that his potion's useless, and then he uses Evanesco spell, which makes his potion disappear. And I bought the unofficial ultimate Harry Potter spell book at Barnes & Noble, I don't know, a couple months ago now. I was with Sasa. And in Chapter 1 Spells, Evanesco is a type of transfiguration spell. It is used to vanish objects. In Latin, it means I vanish, go figure. And it also pulls up a quote from McGee It says, as Minerva McGonagall explains, vanished objects go, quote, into non-being, which is to say, everything. And I thought that was cool. It does say, in Order of the Phoenix, this spell is taught to Hogwarts students in their fifth year. Minerva McGonagall introduced the spell by having the students practice vanishing snails and other small creatures, a task at which only Hermione excelled.
Shocking.
Yep. So that's that. Because knowledge is power.
Yup.
Anyways, so Harry's potion is now gone. But everyone else was able to turn in some of their potion to get a grade, and Harry was left with a nice clean zero. The homework
is... I hate that.
Yep. The homework because it's Snape and Harry. That's the only reason.
Dumb.
So the homework assignment was to write 12 inches of parchment on the properties of Moonstone. Ooh, I could probably do that. And its uses in potion making. Just go to that website, Harry. You'll be fine. Harry packs his things, thinking of the injustice that just happened, and rightfully so. And he gets out of there. He pieces out without the draught of living peace turned in, and he goes to the Great Hall because, like, he has no reason to stay and wait to turn anything in because he has nothing. So when Hermione and Ron finally get to him in the Great Hall, she says, "That was really unfair," said Hermione consolingly, sitting down next to Harry and helping herself to shepherd's pie. Yum, yum. "Your potion wasn't nearly as bad as Goyle's. When he put it into his flagon, the whole thing shattered and set his robes on fire."
I just don't get it. It's so infuriating that he is allowed to do that to Harry. Because, like, his potion was not that bad.
He forgot one thing, you know?
Here's the thing, like, even if Harry, because we know Harry's not the only person he does this to, because he's done something like this to Neville before. Yeah. I mean, he clearly does this to students, but, like, what student is really going to go and, like, tattle on their teacher? That's why teachers get away with stuff for so long when they're like that. Like, how many kids are really going to, like, think to go to the principal and talk about this? And honestly, how many people even listen to kids, which is even more infuriating.
Yeah.
And that's why he gets away with it for as long as he does.
Yeah.
It's just, it's like, just... Harry still did the work. It's like you hand in a quiz that has 10 questions. You got one wrong, so you threw out the whole thing.
Right. It's like, well, yeah, he still could have gotten
some credit for it.
Yeah.
Well, Harry actually sums this up rather simply. He said, "Yeah, well," said Harry, glaring at his plate, "since when has Snape ever been fair to me?"
True that. It's just so infuriating because Harry, like, from jump, Snape has not liked him. We understand why. But, like, it's not Harry's fault that Lily and James are his parents. Like, you gotta get over it, dude. It's been years.
He can't.
He's got to build a bridge, and he's got to get over it.
So Hermione admits that she thought Snape might change his mind or maybe be different toward Harry this year because of everything with the Order, but that's clearly not the case. And then Ron says something that I love. He pulls out some saying that is clearly super wizard, and yes, he probably heard it from Molly or Arthur, and he says, "Poisonous toadstools don't change their spot," said Ron sagely.
That's awesome.
I love it. Ron states again that Dumbledore is nutty for even trusting Snape, and so Hermione snaps back at him because obviously Dumbledore doesn't need to share evidence with Ron about Snape, and then Harry goes off on them a bit, and you have to remember that they have been bickering this entire chapter off and on. So Harry is at that breaking point. So yeah, you cannot blame him.
I think it's great. I would be Harry. I'd be like, shut up. Stop talking to each other.
So this is what Harry says. He goes, "Oh, shut up, the pair of you," said Harry heavily. As Ron opened his mouth to argue back, Hermione and Ron both froze, looking angry and offended. "Can you give it a rest?" he said. "You're always having a go at each other. It's driving me mad." And abandoning his shepherd's pie, which is a big deal, he swung his school bag over his back onto his shoulder and left them sitting there at the table.
I, like, understand both points of view on this because, like, yes, it's frustrating that they're going at each other, but it's also pretty frustrating that Harry keeps snapping at them. So, like, I get why they're offended that he snaps, but also, stop arguing about everything.
Yeah. Agreed.
So, teenagers. Teenagers.
Didn't Hermione just say that they have to stand united, and she just keeps bickering with Ron?
And it's because, you know, it's her future husband. Me. So Harry was kind of fuming, and he was in his thoughts about Ron and Hermione because they're literally driving him up a wall. He walks past the Sir Cadogan portrait, and Sir Cadogan pulls his sword out. Oh, I'm sorry. He draws his sword, much like a chair, and he brandishes it at Harry, and Harry straight up ignores him. Come back, you scurvy dog. Stand fast and fight. Yelled Sir Cadogan in a muffled voice from behind his visor.
I love him.
You know, he just walks on, and Sir Cadogan, he's like attempting to follow him, running through neighboring pictures, and he's finally rebuffed by one of the inhabitants of a picture because it's a large and angry looking wolfhound. So he spends the rest of the lunch hour sitting under the trapdoor at the top of the North Tower, and he is the first to ascend the silver ladder into the classroom.
That's a first.
That is a first.
Yeah.
So at this point, Harry reminds us again that divination is his least favorite class, and I kind of wonder, like, why didn't he just drop it between 4 and 5? Like, couldn't he have switched it to something else, tried something different? It's an elective, you know? But then I'm like, well, it's very convenient that this is the dream.
Yeah.
You know, he's learning about dreams, and that's, like, huge with him. So it's, like, convenient for the plot. But it's just, like, honestly, if Harry was really in that situation, like, don't you think he would have, like, switched classes between years 4 and 5?
I would have.
Like, isn't it, like, an easy A? I don't, you know, isn't an easy grade?
That's true.
I don't know. They don't have, like, GPAs and stuff.
Oh, what,
like,
did he get on it? What did he get on it, though?
Didn't he get, like, dreadful or something on his final?
I'm gonna look it up. You keep going.
So Ron spotted Harry, and he comes right over to him, and he goes, Hermione and me have stopped arguing, he said, sitting down beside Harry. Good, grunted Harry. But Hermione says she thinks it would be nice if you stopped taking out your temper on us, said Ron. I'm not, I'm just passing on the message, said Ron, talking over him. But I reckon she's right. It's not our fault how Seamus and Snape treat you. And Harry's like, I never said it. You didn't need to, though, dude, because your attitude definitely
was checking at the door louder than your words.
Yes. but Harry does, like, while he feels annoyed at what Ron said, he also feels slightly ashamed. So, like, clearly he knows that, you know, he went a little too far, probably.
Ron, it was the Horcrux.
It was the Horcrux. So class is about to start, and Trelawney has copies of The Dream Oracle by Inigo Imago. Yes.
Ooh. So in Harry's divination OWL, he got a P for poor, which is a fail grade.
Yeah.
I would say, so, Harry.
But, like, so, he had a rough fifth year.
He has a rough every year. Let's be
honest.
Yeah, but,
like, Sirius dies at the end of this book, and then he's got to take some tests.
I know.
Literally was almost like, oh, year 6 wasn't bad. No, Dumbledore dies.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. It's pretty
Everybody
bad.
Dies sometimes.
So I pulled up on the wiki The Dream Oracle. We don't really know a whole bunch about it, but it is a little bit of an anomaly of a school book, because this is one of the only books that we know of that, like, the students don't have to purchase. The teacher just, like, provides them and then collects them back. So she must use them for, like, multiple.
They're probably old.
Yeah.
As I'll get out.
Yeah.
Do you think, is it because maybe the, what does she call it? Is it an art?
Maybe.
Of divination?
Yeah.
Doesn't change?
Yeah.
Or hasn't changed?
Yeah.
I don't know!
So in the book, she says, "You will find on the tables before you copies of The Dream Oracle by Inigo Imago. Dream interpretation is a most important means of divining the future, and one that may very probably be tested in your OWL." So again, another teacher, first day, mentioning OWL.
I feel like it's like a shock factor at this point.
Yeah, the kids are probably like, oh my god, what is this?
This is what you're going to have to do. We're showing you the end result. Now we're going to take you to how you get there.
Maybe.
Yeah.
It's not a bad strategy, but it's definitely one that kind of, especially if everybody's doing it.
So the introduction, they're told to read the introduction, and it takes 20 minutes to read and was known to provide some information on dream interpretation. I also pulled up Inigo Imago on the wiki, and unfortunately there's not a whole lot. I was hoping that I would find more information, but,
yeah, because usually the author's names have meanings behind their texts.
So all we know is that Inigo was a wizard and a seer. He wrote the Dream Oracle, and...
Oh, I see what you did there.
And some etymology of his name. The name Inigo is the English form of Inigo. Very creative.
Cool.
It became well known in Britain due to the 17th century English architect Inigo Jones. He was named after his father, who was a Catholic who was named for Saint Ignatius of Loyola.
Oh! So, I like that saint.
Very Imago... Cool. Is the technical term for a mature insect. So how we bring that back to dream interpretation is beyond me. Maybe it's something to be interpreted.
Interpreted?
I just made up that word.
Interpreted.
You mean you messed up that word, and now you're saying you made it up.
No, I made it up. I knew what I was saying. I knew exactly what I was saying.
It was the Horcrux.
Smart. So, it wasn't...
My name is Toya.
That's all I can think about.
Prepare to die.
It wasn't a double period, so by the time they finished reading the intro to the book, they only had 10 minutes left to interpret dreams. So Ron says that he never remembers his dreams. And I'm like, me either, Ron. I literally never remember dreams. Do you guys remember dreams?
What?
Very rarely.
I never.
Not all the time, but.
Sarah always tells me about her dreams.
I have crazy dreams. I have a lot of stress dreams. And sometimes my stress dreams, like, I've been out of high school 12 years now. Whoa. First of all, that makes me nauseous. But, I'll have dreams, like stress dreams, and I didn't realize until later on that these were stress dreams that I'm trying either to get to work or to get to school. Like, I have dreams like I'm in Magnificat's, like, you know, the cafeteria, and how, like, or like, here's all the tables and there's the hallway here and then, like, that other room. So I'm, like, here and I'm, like, trying to get to class but also trying to get to work, but it, like, there's so many things impeding me and I just can't get there. Those happen to me all the time.
Yeah, I like.
If I've had busy days at work, I dream about work a lot.
I dreamt about school last night, which kind of made me sad.
Yeah,
I miss my kiddos.
I once had a dream when I worked in my other job. I worked in like the recovery room, and we had an area called Phase Two, which is like basically like the patients are ready to go home, so they only had to get like one or two more sets of vitals and like. Whatever, so it was easier care. It should have been. And I had a dream once that I was getting patients, and I was like, I can't take. I'm not a nurse. Like, I can't take the patients. When realistically, like, I can get their vitals and take their IVs out and stuff, but like, I can't give them medicine. Like, but I was like, I can't do this. Like, in my dream, I remember like panicking because I'm like, I can't. Those are the types of dreams I have.
I sleep really hard, so like. I, like, when I'm out, I'm out. And I think that might be why I don't, so.
I rarely remember when I do. They're really weird.
Yeah.
Yeah. I have a friend, and not a lot of people know this, that if she dreams in color, they typically like come true. Like she had an aunt that was killed in a car accident. And she had a dream about it, but she like, she goes, it was so weird. She goes, I didn't really like understand it when I had it. She had a dream that she, her aunt was like leaving on a train and she like tried, like she was waving goodbye and like Jen tried to like get to her, but like she couldn't. And then a couple of weeks later, her aunt passed away. She's like, yeah, it's crazy. I asked her, I'm like, do you ever have dream, like color dreams about me? She's like, no.
What?
It's just crazy.
Yeah.
So Harry then was thinking, well, I'm not going to share my dreams with anybody because he knew perfectly well what his regular nightmare about a graveyard meant. And he didn't need Ron or Professor Trelawney or the stupid dream oracle to tell him that. And then Ron says, well, I had one that I was playing Quidditch the other night, said Ron, screwing up his face in an effort to remember. What do you reckon that means?
Whoa! Oh, he's a seer!
Whoa!
Ron, was it in color?
Could be.
And then Harry goes, probably that you're going to be eaten by a giant marshmallow or something, turning the pages of the dream oracle without interest.
Marshmallow.
I actually recently had a dream about Alex. It was very weird.
Our friend Alex. Fun fact.
I'll tell you about it later.
Okay. So their homework after that was to keep a dream journal over the next month, which I'm sure honestly is Harry's worst nightmare. Like, he
Over and over.
Right. Like, okay, well, I'm just going to tell you that I'm having the same dream, and then you're going to tell me that it's the Grim and I'm going to die. So, like, yeah. You know. And then I said, owl year, man. Ron goes, do you realize how much homework we've got already? Bins set us a foot and a half long essay on Giant Wars. Snape wants a foot on the use of moonstones. And now we've got a month's dream diary from Trelawney. Fred and George weren't wrong about OWL year, were they? That Umbridge woman had better not give us any.
She who must not be named.
She's going to give you worse than that.
Be named.
All right, guys. It's time for...
I've been waiting.
Why?
Because I love her.
Oh, my Lanta.
I love to trash talk her.
It's time for D-A-D-A with the U.
Da-da.
Da-da.
Is she who must not be named?
Yep. She's wearing the same fluffy pink cardigan from the night before. Gross, do you ever wash your clothes? You nasty.
Right?
And
what?
I'm just kidding. And she has her black velvet bow on her head. So Harry's again reminded of a large toad with a fly on its head. So she says, good afternoon. And the class is like, good afternoon. She's never happy with that. So she says,
good afternoon, Madam Hooch.
Good afternoon, class. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. She's like, well, that won't do. Like, I want you all to say good afternoon, Professor Umbridge.
Oh my God. Right there, I would have been like, peace.
Yep, bye.
Going back I don't to do the that, though. Room. Like, I don't talk in class like when other people are talking. Like, if anything, I'll just move my mouth so you think I'm talking.
Yeah, me either.
What I'm if like, everybody did that collectively? And so everybody's just like,
or like, did they ever teach you, like, if you're trying to sing a song to like in a group and you had to look like you're singing along,
yeah,
but you
watermelon.
Don't know the words, just say watermelon.
Yeah.
Watermelon, watermelon.
That's funny. So they all chanted back to her, and apparently that's acceptable. So she says,
I would have stared at her with my mouth closed.
That's gone right up to her.
I would have.
I would have stared at her with my mouth open wide, going,
I would have been like, not good afternoon, Professor Umbridge. You the worst.
She'd be like, do you need to go see Madame Pomfrey?
They don't even know.
I'm just hoping all the raindrops are lemon drops and gumdrops. Oh, what a rain that would be.
Truth. So she tells them all to put their wands away, and instantly everyone's bummed because they can't ever remember having a Defense Against the Dark Arts class that they enjoyed where they didn't have their wands out. So she says to get their books out. The chalkboard says, Defense Against the Dark Arts, a return to basic principles. So she goes on to say that their teaching so far in defense has been disrupted and fragmented. They've had a constant change of teachers, and she comments, many of whom don't seem to have followed any ministry-approved curriculum. and this is why they're so far below the standard that they expect to see in OWL year. They being the ministry. But have no fear, because these problems are going to be rectified. Quote, we will be following a carefully structured, theory-centered, ministry-approved course of defensive magic this year. So she makes them copy down the course aims. Number one, understanding the principles underlying defensive magic. Number two, learning to recognize situations in which defensive magic can legally be used. I feel like that's a straight dig at Harry. And three, placing the use of defensive magic in a context for practical use. So you'll see in a little bit what the problem with this is. So she asks if everyone has their copy of Defensive Magical Theory, which I have to say is like one of my favorite designs from Mina Lima.
I know, it's like so kiddish.
It looks like a three-year-old's book.
Yeah.
It's insulting to these kids.
15-year-olds who take in defense for like, you know, 4 years. It's not like...
Especially in the current climate that you're obviously ignoring.
It's insulting.
So, yeah.
Well, yeah.
But like, even if there was nothing, like, if Voldemort wasn't back, like, there's nothing wrong with people learning how to defend themselves.
Exactly. Exactly. Yep. I agree. So she asks if everyone has their book, and there's another dull murmur, and she says, we'll try that again. When I ask you a question, I want you to answer yes, Professor Umbridge, or no, Professor Umbridge. Okay, second time that I'm like, peace. You know, maybe here's gave you the first time, but this time, no.
Here's the... Okay, go ahead, Tiffany.
No, I was just thinking, like, she just, in my head, I feel like she just wants to hear herself being called a professor.
Right?
Yeah. I was gonna say that, like, I'm not saying that, like, teachers can never ask for responses like that, but in a class of 15-year-olds, it's very childish. Like, that's something in, like, kindergarten to, like, keep kids, you know, like keep their attention and be like, hey, I just want to make sure everyone's paying attention. Like, did you understand me? But, like, not to 15-year-olds. What? I can't.
But she just babies them, you know? You can say it in a much different way and actually engage your class instead of being rude.
That's not a way to gain respect from kids.
Right.
Basically.
So she hasn't turned to chapter one, basics for beginners. And what are they doing in class? Reading from the chapter by themselves.
Sounds like a really good use of class time.
Exactly. It was, quote, desperately dull. Almost as bad as listening to Professor Binns, which we know is a droning vacuum. Harry, has this ever happened to you guys? He reads the same line half a dozen times without taking in more than the first few words.
I feel that so hard in classes like this.
Mm-hmm. I remember sitting there and just being like, how many times am I reading this line? I'm not absorbing it at all. So Ron's not doing much better than Harry, but Hermione, which Harry's surprised, he looks over and she hasn't even opened her book. She's just staring at Umbridge with her hand in the air. And Harry can't ever remember Hermione, like, not listening to an instruction from a teacher or resist opening a book that came under her nose.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So after a couple minutes, like, more and more people are noticing Hermione just staring. And once, like, half of the class is clearly not reading the chapter anymore, Umbridge finally acknowledges her. So I'm going to read from the chapter because, like Snape, you can't really paraphrase Umbridge because she's just that awful.
She's just that good, you mean. Gosh.
Right, she's just amazing. Did you want to ask something about the chapter, dear? She asked Hermione as though she had only just noticed her. Not about the chapter.
Dears.
No, said Hermione. Well, we're reading just now, said Professor Umbridge, showing her small, pointed teeth. If you have other queries, we can deal with them at the end of class. Ugh. I've got a query about your course aims, said Hermione. Professor Umbridge raised her eyebrows. And your name is... Hermione Granger, said Hermione. Well, Miss Granger, I think the course aims are perfectly clear if you read them through carefully, said Professor Umbridge in a voice of determined sweetness. Well, I don't, said Hermione bluntly. There's nothing written up there about using defensive spells. There was a short silence in which many members of the class turned their heads to frown at the three course aims still written on the blackboard. Using defensive spells, Professor Umbridge repeated with a little laugh, which is perfect in the movie.
Yeah.
Why, I can't imagine any situation arising in my classroom that would require you to use a defensive spell, Miss Granger. You surely aren't expecting to be attacked during class. And Ron's like, whoa, we're not using magic? and Umbridge is like, you're going to raise your hand if you want to talk in my class. So Ron raises his hand, but she just ignores everything that he said and doesn't call on him. And Harry and Hermione immediately raise their hands. And Hermione's like, so surely the whole point of Defense Against the Dark Arts is to practice defensive spells. And Umbridge is like, are you a ministry-trained educational expert? And she's got that falsely sweet voice on, and Hermione's like, no, but... And Umbridge cuts her off and says, well then, I'm afraid you are not qualified to decide what the whole point of any class is. Wizards much older and cleverer than you have devised our new program of study. You will be learning about defensive spells in a secure, risk-free way. And Harry interrupts her and is like, what use is that? If we're going to be attacked, it won't be in a... But Umbridge, ooh, she mad.
Okay, so obviously Umbridge is Umbridge. And she is not pleased that Harry didn't have his hand up in the air. So he thrusts his fist into the air. And it's also noted that there are many hands also in the air. And Dean Thomas's is one of them. And I just want to read from the book. Because she's like, and your name is? I'm sure she didn't sound like that, but who knows. He's like, Dean Thomas. Well, Mr. Thomas. Well, it's like Harry said, isn't it? Said Dean. If we're going to be attacked, it won't be risk-free. I repeat, said Professor Umbridge, smiling in a very irritating fashion at Dean. Do you expect to be attacked during my classes? No, but... And then Professor Umbridge talked over him. I do not wish to criticize the way things have been run in the school, she said.
Bogus. Bogus on all counts.
She said with an unconvincing smile, stretching her wide mouth. But you have been exposed to some very irresponsible wizards in this class. Very irresponsible indeed. Not to mention, she gave a nasty little laugh. Extremely dangerous half-breeds.
Rude!
Megan, and... Do the laugh.
What, the hem-hem?
No, the laugh.
Do a nasty little laugh.
Oh.
Oh my gosh.
I'll take it.
Yeah.
And so... If you mean Professor Lupin, piped up Dean Thomas angrily, he was the best we ever had, Mr. Thomas. As I was saying, you've been introduced to spells that have been complex, inappropriate to your age group, and potentially lethal. And you've been frightened into believing that you are likely to meet dark attacks every other day. Umbridge is basically being ridiculous because she keeps yelling about hands. And she's basically saying, like, what she's saying is making the students mad. Because she talks about Lupin being a dangerous half-breed, right? Is that what she said?
Yeah.
Which, realistically, he was the best teacher they ever had, so... Ugh. There are things I want to say that I'm not allowed to say.
True.
And she's also saying things that are simply not true, like students being led to believe that they're going to be attacked every other day. But realistically, and I said this before, even without... I don't know what I try to say, but like basically without like Voldemort being a thing and like a war on its way, there's not a bad thing. It's not a bad thing to have people being able to defend themselves. There's going to be people on every corner that want to, I don't know, not be nice to you, basically. Especially in the wizarding world, like you got spells, there's people practicing not nice things.
Non-verbal spells.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then she also brings up the fact that the last professor showed them illegal spells, and she's like, and I believe they even performed them on students, which is true, and really that's a big reason why Harry was able to survive last year at the end of the whole thing. And then Dean comments that he turned out to be a lunatic, him being the professor, that was Moody/Judy, and then she again yells about his hand not being up, and she says... It is the view of the ministry that a theoretical knowledge will be more than sufficient to get you through your examination. So then Parvati, she has her hand up and waits to be called on. So she then asks about the fact that, like, they're going to have to take OWLs, and isn't there a practical part to that exam? So how are they going to take a test without ever practicing the spells that they're like learning about? Insane. So Umbridge says, as long as you have studied the theory hard enough, there is no reason why you should not be able to perform the spells under carefully controlled examination conditions. Which, to me, is just insane. First of all, like, that's basically telling them, like, the first time they're going to be actually doing these spells is when they're being tested on it. That's completely unfair. And as someone, like, I went to hair school, and you're learning things that you have to practice on ahead. Like, you have mannequin heads, you have to practice doing hair, because if you are going to get a license, you have to be tested on it. I can't even imagine if I studied, because it's, I was in school for 9 months learning all of these things. If I read from a book for 9 months about maybe, like, let's take highlights, for example, and then had to do them on a mannequin head, I would have no freaking clue. Yeah, I studied hard. Yeah, I worked hard. But there's things you have to practice. It's just, I literally wrote a swear in here that I'm not allowed to say. But I was like, that's just insane. Practice makes perfect. And again, just because you've read something and you could have read it a million times does not mean you can actually do it, because there's something to be said about reading it and knowing it and performing it. And maybe there are people out there that can read it. Like, Hermione might be able to read it really well, understand it completely, and then execute it. Not everyone's like that. It just is infuriating to me. I just can't imagine. End of my little rant.
Thank you very much.
So then Harry basically is like, what good is theory in the real world? And he's not wrong. Again, in a world without Voldemort, in a world without an impending war, there are still bad people out there that have no problems harming you to get what they want. So, like, there's nothing wrong with people learning how to defend themselves. And, like, counter jinxes and stuff like that, you know what I mean? Like, the things you learn in defense or learning about, like, with Lupin, like, he brought in creatures and, like, this is how you can defend yourself against creatures. Like, you're not gonna, like, I mean, I'll run into things out in the world. You know, it just, ugh, I just don't like her. Okay. Can you
Okay.
And I'm gonna read a little bit more from the chapter. Because there's just a lot to say. I can't stand
her parts in the book, like, reading them. They just make me so angry.
Who do you imagine wants to attack children like yourselves? Inquired Professor Umbridge in a horribly honeyed voice. I love Harry.
I don't know.
Let me think, said Harry in a mock thoughtful voice. Maybe Lord Voldemort? And then, of course, because people don't say his name, Ron gasps. Lavender Brown uttered a little scream. Neville slipped sideways off of his stool. Professor Umbridge, however, did not flinch. She was staring at Harry with a grimly, satisfied expression on her face. 10 points from Gryffindor, Mr. Potter. Yeah.
Evil recognizes evil. She doesn't flinch at his name.
Right. For sure. And so, 10 points were taken from Gryffindor. The classroom was silent and still. Everyone was staring at either Umbridge or Harry. Now let me make a few things quite plain. Professor Umbridge stood up, leaned towards them with her stubby fingered hands splayed on her desk. You have been told that a certain dark wizard has returned from the dead. He wasn't dead, said Harry angrily. But yeah, he's returned. Mr. Potter, you have already lost your house 10 points. Do not make matters worse for yourself, said Professor Umbridge in one breath without looking at him. As I was saying, you have been informed that a certain dark wizard is at large once again. This is a lie. It is not a lie, said Harry. I saw him. I fought him. Detention, Mr. Potter, said Professor Umbridge triumphantly. Tomorrow evening, 5 o'clock, my office. So, like I said, so Harry, or Umbridge gives Harry detention. And then she repeats that what Harry is saying is a lie. And she says that the ministry can guarantee that the students in basically the wizarding world isn't in any danger. And that they are, if they are worried, that they should go and talk to Umbridge. And she said, if someone is alarming you with fibs about reborn dark wizards, I would like to hear about it. I'm here to help. I'm your friend. And then with that, she tells him to continue to read. So then Umbridge sits down. And Harry stands up. And then Hermione's trying to get him to sit back down and not cause any more trouble for himself. And again, I'm going to read from the book.
I mean, it's good stuff. Go for it.
So according to you, Cedric Diggory dropped dead of his own accord, did he? Harry asks, his voice shaking. There was a collective intake of breath from the class, for none of them apart from Ron and Hermione had ever heard Harry talk about what had happened on the night that Cedric had died. They stared avidly from Harry to Professor Umbridge, who had raised her eyes and was staring at him without a trace of a fake smile on her face. Cedric Diggory's death was a tragic accident, she said coldly. It was murder, said Harry. He could feel himself shaking. He had hardly talked to anyone about this, least of all 30 eagerly listening classmates. Voldemort killed him, and you know it. Yeah. But, like, think about, like, yeah, Megan.
Like, I honestly wonder what the Ministry thinks in their heads happened to Cedric. It was a tragic accident, but, like, how? What accidentally happened to him? How on earth could, if they think that the Triwizard Tournament went as planned, what could have killed him?
Yeah.
And the fact that she has the audacity to say that his death was an accident is like, you weren't even there.
Yeah.
Harry was. No idea.
And if you think about, like, how riled up Harry is and how upset he is, because he has not told, like, people have been at, not a ton of people, but, like, people have asked before this what happened, and he wouldn't talk about it. And he's so riled up that he's like, Cedric died, he was murdered, it was Voldemort. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Right.
So then Umbridge is like, Harry, well, she's like, come here, Potter, I think, or Mr. Potter. So he walks up to Umbridge's desk, she pulls out some pink parchment, and she writes on it, she seals it with her wand, and she tells him to take it to Professor McGonagall. So then he leaves without another word, and I love this, he slams the door of the classroom on his way out.
Yeah.
And so then on his way to McGonagall's office, he comes across Peeves in the corridor.
Yes.
And, like, I will say this, if I was in Harry's shoes, like, and he's angry, he's fired up, and now there's Peeves being annoying in the hallway, like, oh, like, I feel Harry's anger, and I would, like, pick up an inkwell and throw it at Peeves, you know what I mean? Like, I'm fired up, man.
I just and, love like, it's just, Peeves. I just
it's
love
just
it.
Adding to the irritation. Like, I remember when I was a kid and I would be, like, super mad about something, and, like, I could just remember walking into a store and being mad at my mom, and, like, being, honestly, like, a ridiculous kid and being loud and, like being obnoxious, being like, I want it, whatever I was saying, and she would be laughing at me, and then I would get even more angry. This is that, basically. So he comes across Peeves in the corridor, who's holding many inkwells in his arm, and he says, why, it's Potty Wee Potter, and he drops some inkwells on the ground, like, while he's, like, you know, being Peeves. And so Harry kind of tries to get out of the way, and he tells Peeves, get out of it, Peeves. And he says,
I love it.
Ooh, crackpot's feeling cranky. What is it this time, my fine potty friend? Hearing voices, seeing visions, speaking in tongues. And he blows raspberries in between them. So he's like, and then with this, Harry shouts at him to leave him alone. But Peeves being Peeves continues to peeve. and he says, almost think he's barking, that potty wee lad, but some are more kindly and think he's just sad. But Peeves knows better and says that he's mad. And at this, Harry shouts at him to shut up.
Peeves is one whole pet peeve.
Yeah. And so, like, this is what makes McGonagall open up her office door to be like, what on earth is happening out here? And then she sees Harry. She's like, why aren't you in class? And so he tells her that he's been sent to see her from Umbridge. And then I was thinking, like, I think this is, like, the first time that he's been, like, dismissed out of class for, like, acting up. So, like, I wonder, like, if she was thinking in the back of her head, like, well, you took 5 years. It took your dad, like, a month.
Right. Right.
So then she reads the note that Umbridge sent him and tells him to come into my office, Potter. And then again, I'm going to read from the chapter. Well, said Professor McGonagall, rounding on him. Is it true? Is what true? Harry said, rather more aggressively than he had intended. Professor, he added, in an attempt to sound more polite. Is it true that you shouted at Professor Umbridge? Yes, said Harry. You called her a liar? Yes. You told her he who must not be named is back? Yes. Professor McGonagall sat behind her desk, frowning at Harry. Then she said, have a biscuit, Potter.
Love it.
And he's
love
like, have, it. What? She's like, have a biscuit. And then she like gives him like a cookie. Cookies are lying. on
is one that of what the they piles are? Of papers.
What?
He takes a ginger newt.
They're so yeah.
They sell those good. At the Wizarding World and they're amazing.
So he sits down and he's like basically trying to think. It says like on previous occasion when Harry expecting to be caned by Professor McGonagall had instead been appointed to her by the Gryffindor or to the Gryffindor Quidditch team, he sank into a chair opposite her and helped himself to a ginger newt, feeling just as confused and wrongly footed as he had done on that occasion. Because he's totally thinking he's going to be in a ton of trouble for saying this to Umbridge. But, you know, she offers him, like, the cookie instead. Well, a biscuit. And he sinks into the chair in her office, and he takes a ginger newt. And, according to the Wikia, it's a cookie. And it's in the shape of a wizard. No, it's not. It's in the shape of a newt.
It's like a
what
ginger,
is wrong with
it's
you?
Like a gingerbread cookie
with like icing.
It's in the shape of a wizard.
Do you remember? I made my mom make gingerbread cookies a couple years ago because I really wanted them, and it turned out I don't like gingerbread cookies.
She does not.
I like ginger snaps.
Those
I do enjoy.
That's great.
But I guess Megan and Katie said you can buy them at the Wizarding World, so maybe you should buy some the next time we go down.
Yeah, they are. Really good. Like I was so when I looked at it in the case, I'm like, I don't have high hopes for that cookie. It just looks standard. It doesn't look like anything special. But then we got it and it was like soft and chewy and gingery and yummy. Oh my god. Oh my god, I could eat 5 of them.
Oh.
Yep.
Sorry, I have hiccups.
Did you eat a ginger newt?
I did not. Okay. Woo! Knocking things over. So McGonagall then tells him that he needs to be careful. And from the book, it says her tone of voice was not at all what he was used to. It was not brisk, crisp, and stern. It was low and anxious and somehow much more human than usual. Which is like kind of scary.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, you always think of like, at least when you're a kid, you know, your parents are always, like, strong and, like, they know what to do and, like, whatever. And then in situations like this, like, they're just human. So, like, McGonagall is this teacher where he's always seen her as, like, very in control and very, you know, I don't know what the word I'm looking for is. But, like, so now he's, like, she's more of, like, a human now where he's, like, understanding, like, these are scary times. And especially with, like, the ministry, like, really involving themselves in Hogwarts, crazy times. Mm-hmm. Anyways, so she basically is like, you know, it could cost Harry more than just house points and detention if he causes too much trouble in Umbridge's class. Because she reports to Fudge in the ministry, not to Dumbledore. So, like, whatever he does, it's going to be reported back to the ministry and to Fudge. And also we know that Umbridge is just evil.
Mm-hmm.
So then McGonagall lets Harry know that the note says that Umbridge has given Harry detention for the rest of the week starting tomorrow. And Harry was like, what? And then he tries to, like, before he can even ask McGonagall to talk to Umbridge, like, he doesn't even get all the words out. And she's like, no, I can't talk to her. And she's like, she's your teacher and she has every right to give you detention. You'll go to her room at 5 o'clock tomorrow for the first one. Just remember, tread carefully around Dolores Umbridge.
So, I understand McGonagall at this moment in time, today, with this. And it frustrates me that Harry doesn't go to her after the first detention. Because, like, that's a whole different level, right? And, like, I'm sure that something could have been done at that point.
I don't know, though. Because I don't think, like...
Well, not getting him out. I don't think that she could
have said anything.
Gotten him out of it, but, like, the whole actual act of detention, what he has to do, I think that would have changed. She would have been like, no, that is not how Hogwarts is run. We do not do these practices. That can't happen, period. Like, no. He'd still go to detention, but he wouldn't, you know.
Just like we don't use transfiguration on students.
Right. Know? Yes. Yeah, same
concept. A little bit of a lightning bolt, even though it's really for like the next one. Like, would you have told, or would you just have sucked it up like Harry did?
I would have gone to Professor McGonagall.
I think I would have too, because it's like Yeah. It's blood, man. That's literally like barbaric. Evil practice.
No, yeah. I wouldn't want to give her the satisfaction. I would just suck it up.
I don't know, man. I'd have to work past that just because it's like, it's just evil and wrong.
I get that. There's nothing wrong with it.
I get what you're saying too, yeah. It's hard.
I'm very much like the type of person, like, I would cut off my nose to spite my face. Like, so like, I would just do it and not say anything. Like, I would not even acknowledge my hand hurting. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So then Harry is mad because he was like telling her, he's like, I was just telling the truth about Voldemort being back, Cedric being murdered, and like Dumbledore knows all of this. And I get that. Like, that's super frustrating that like Harry's just being honest and telling the truth, and then people are calling him a liar. Like, that's just so frustrating, and I feel bad, you know?
Yeah.
And like McGonagall retorts back saying, like, do you really think it has anything to do with truth or lies? It's about keeping your head down and your temper under control, which like sucks, but she's not wrong. Like, at this point in time, all of these people in positions of power besides like Dumbledore are saying that both Harry and Dumbledore are liars, are crackpot old fools, yada da da da. And so like they're kind of going back and forth. They're both like irritable right now, both McGonagall and Harry. And so she tells him irritably to have another biscuit, and he's like, no thanks. And she snaps at him and tells him to take a biscuit. She takes one and he thanks her.
Doesn't she say like, don't be ridiculous?
Yeah, don't be ridiculous. It's just a cookie. So he does. He takes another one and he thanks her. And then McGonagall asks him, she's like, did you even listen to the speech that Umbridge gave at the beginning of term? No, McGonagall, he didn't. Nobody did. Because she's, except for Hermione. Hermione did listen. Yeah, said Harry. Yeah, she said, progress will be prohibited. Or, well, it meant that that the Ministry of Magic is trying to interfere at Hogwarts. So, like, McGonagall, like, stands up to, like, go open her door for Harry and says, well, I'm glad you listened to Hermione Granger at any rate, she said. And then she, like, points for him to leave her office. But, like, I love that line. Like, at least you're listening to Hermione, you know?
Yep.
She knows.
She knows.
Meg, would you like to do lightning? What? Because then I talk twice.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I forgot that we were doing that.
I did, too.
Okay, so first question is from Tessa. Do you think the Draught of Living Peace...
Katie's joke.
No, it's after the fan story.
Oh,
I'm forgotten.
Do you think that the Draught of Living Peace could help with other mental health issues?
It seems like a Band-Aid.
Yeah, agreed.
I think it's
just like...
Yeah.
It's not like something you can take all the time. It's like...
Right.
Like,
right.
Didn't Harry get it to help him sleep in the hospital wing before?
Yeah.
In the fourth year.
Yeah. I feel like if you're... I'm not saying that it wouldn't help because, like Tiffany said, it's a Band-Aid. But, like, this potion isn't, like, actual medication for anxiety that, like, helps with the chemicals in your body. This is literally just a Band-Aid. Like... Yeah.
And I wonder if even if you sleep with it, you're not rested. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah.
Like, it's, you're still drained, you know? I don't know.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Okay, so the next question comes from Kelly. How would potions get tested? Is it just by look? Because during the OWLs, they weren't testing them physically, right? I think that they do. And then he has, antidotes on hand.
Yeah. We could always look that up.
But even if they didn't, I would think that Snape would know by the look of it anyway.
Yeah, for sure. I think they all have a distinct look.
Yeah.
The smell and color.
Right.
The way that the steam comes off of them and, like, swirls and whatnot. And...
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
The Mighty Oak.
Is that a thing for potions? Like, how it swirls the steam?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, if it swirls counterclockwise and the potion is supposed to swirl clockwise, it's wrong?
Are the rules different on the other side of the world? Like, how the toilet flushes?
Maybe.
On the other side of the world?
Maybe. Oh, the Mighty Oak asks, who do you think would win in a fight, Sir Cadogan or Harry?
Harry.
Harry.
I think Harry.
Yes.
I think Sir Cadogan would, like, trip over a rock and, like, not, he'd be like a turtle on his back in all his armor. He wouldn't be able to get up.
But also, like, he only has a sword and Harry has a wand.
True.
So it was brought up in the, you guys talked about how he took a potion. It just says, Madame Pomfrey, who had bustled off to her office, returned holding a small bottle of some purple potion and a goblet. You need to drink all of this, Harry, she said. It's a potion for a dreamless sleep. It was something different.
Okay. Peisha asks, did you have a class or course in school that was the equivalent to Harry's divination OWL?
I did have one class that I just, it wasn't like, I didn't do poorly in it. I didn't do as great as my other classes because my teacher and me did not get along. But that's probably the closest I have.
What do you mean by, like, divination? Like,
I think, like, not like divination, but like how Harry performed. Was in divination.
Like he got a P.
Like he got a P. He didn't do well. Did you have a class? That you didn't do well in.
Yeah. American history, when I was a senior in high school, I failed my first semester and had to take night classes. Only, and it's not because, like, it was my fault. I just didn't do my homework. It was AP U.S. history is what it was. And I don't know how I got into AP history. I have no idea because I'd never taken, like, an honors history class. So I shouldn't have been in the class anyways. But the only homework was writing papers, and I wrote none of them.
I lied. Geometry was my absolute worst subject in all of school.
Yeah, but you didn't fail also, it.
I failed my final.
I almost failed geometry because, again, I didn't do my homework.
And then I
had that same teacher, again, for physics, and I, again, almost failed. This is my senior year. I had a rough senior year, like, emotionally. So I failed my U.S. history first semester, had to take night schools my second semester of my senior year. And then I took physics with the same teacher I had for geometry. And I almost failed physics. And halfway through the class, like, she's like, Sarah, what are you doing? And I was like, I don't know. Like, because, again, I didn't do my homework. So, like, I was the only reason. And I'm good. Like, I love physics. It's a great, like, it's something I really enjoyed. And she's like, you're smarter than this. She's like, why are you failing it? I passed. The U.S. history was the only class I ever failed. In high school.
Literally, like, people say that you're either an algebra brain or a geometry brain, and they always, I've heard a lot that if you have a creative brain, you're supposed to do better at geometry, but I am the exact opposite.
Oh my God, it's just so dumb.
I don't understand
geometry.
It.
I loved geometry.
Nope.
See, I got, what did you like, have? Do you remember?
Yeah, but I can't remember how to say her name. Arducci?
She the old
her.
One?
Yes, that and I had bad. Her... for every math class, and she
really?
Loved me, and
she didn't like me.
Oh my God, I loved her, and I had like 105% in geometry by the end of the year.
So
it was my favorite
I had
class.
Her, this is like a theme throughout my life. I had her my freshman year for algebra, and like, again, math comes easy to me, and I didn't always do well like on my homework and stuff, and she did not like me for that.
She's a very traditional teacher.
But, I had a Rundle for geometry and physics.
Yeah, I never had her. But
for homework.
The only class that I didn't do well in was chemistry for some reason. And it was just, I swear it was the teacher. I just, because that's usually like right up my alley.
Yeah.
And I loved what we were learning, but how she was teaching it, I couldn't grasp it. And I didn't do well in that class because of that. But I love the labs.
You have
and
chemistry.
I don't remember her name. I blocked it from my memory. It was bad. It was a bad semester.
Yeah.
The next question is from the Mighty Oak again. If you had to choose between Snape or Umbridge, who would you choose for a teacher?
Snape.
Yeah.
At least I'm going to learn.
I guess. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. Which. Ugh,
that's and rough. I'm not Harry, so like he might like me better, you know?
Or at least be fair. Even if he doesn't like you, at least he might be fair.
He's being different to me.
And I don't think I've ever actually seen him teach Ravenclaw, so he could be a totally different teacher in that classroom.
True. Or Hufflepuffs, yeah. I feel like he wouldn't
he's gonna
like
love Katie and I. We'll just say that. Because we're going to class together. Him. Oh, we wouldn't. We're not in the same grade.
I could see him being, like, in Puffs, where he's like, oh, it's the Puffs.
Oh, the next question comes from Kelly. Is there any class, Hogwarts or real-time life, that just theory would work for? I mean, I guess history.
Yeah.
Right?
Astronomy?
And, like, real
no,
classes?
No, astronomy,
like,
you have to practice.
Languages.
You have to, like, look. True. Language. No, yeah. Language you practice because you, like, speak
it. Yeah, but you don't.
But that would be considered practice. Theory would literally just be reading about it. So, yeah. Like, I really feel like the only thing that fits is history.
Yeah.
Honestly, as an educator, theory can only go so far. You have to have practical. And that's where I'm going to leave that.
Yeah.
Practice, practice, practice.
Because even in history, there's ways that you can teach it in a different way to help people absorb it better, right?
Like, well, everyone learns differently anyways. Like,
yeah.
Preach.
I do not learn well by just reading something.
I don't either.
It depends. I'm a very visual learner, so I guess no.
I'm, like, hands-on.
You're better at absorbing reading than I am, though.
Yeah.
I get bored. Like, my attention starts to wane, and then I'm like, okay, let me read something else.
Yeah. I just asked that one. Peisha asks, how would you react if she who must not be named, in she who must not be named's class, what would you do or want to do in fifth year? What would fifth year you do? Sorry. Like, 15-year-old you, what would you do in her class for that? How would you react to it?
I'd probably be like Harry.
Yeah, same. Yeah.
Like, I'd be angry. And it's just, like, I mean, obviously you heard me ranting about practice. Like, it's just some Bob's shorts.
Yeah.
Bob's shorts.
Too timid of a human being to say something there, but I'd be, like, roaring up a storm when I left.
Yeah, you'd feel the anger and then let it out after.
Think of, like, all those people that are, like, feeling it, and they're using, like, their magic that they can't control.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
Because they're so angry. So maybe you'd shoot some sparks and then they'd have to get a new teacher. I don't know.
Emily asks, what kind of biscuit would you want McG to have?
I'd take a ginger snap.
I'm fine with a ginger nuke.
Yeah, ginger nuke.
Or a chocolate chip.
Ginger
I don't know if that's considered a biscuit, though, like a cookie. A digestive.
Yes.
Big bitties.
Dipped in chocolate.
That's what I would eat. Yum.
What, yum. Macadamia nut.
Ooh, those are good.
Or a snickerdoodle. Oh, or a Panera chocolate chip cookie. Or a Meg chocolate chip cookie.
Did you guys see someone made snickerdoodles, but they made them, like, in the shape of snakes curled up, so they're snickerdoodles?
Oh my god, that's
cute. I don't know if that's what they were called. They were called something like that.
My god.
Last one comes from Kelly. Would Umbridge get Fudge to change the rules if Harry had gone to McG after the first detention? I honestly, like, there's a moment when Umbridge knows that she's going too far and she says, like, what Fudge doesn't know won't hurt him. And I feel like this would have been too far, even for Fudge, personally.
Yeah.
Like, hurting children in detention. Like, he's annoying, but he's not cruel like her, right? Like, Fudge is just uninformed. Fudge is just, like,
coward.
Not uninformed is maybe not the right word, but he just is oblivious, and he knows that he's being oblivious. He's doing it on purpose, but, like, he's not about hurting people. He's just about ignoring the problem. And I feel like, had he known that that is what Umbridge was doing, that would have been too far for him.
Yeah. Agreed.
That's the tea. That's all of them.
Time for the fan story. This one comes from my Megan.
Oh, yeah, you got a good name and you spell it right.
Oh,
my gosh.
Hello, Tiffany, Megan, Katie, and Sarah. My name is Megan. My Hogwarts house is Hufflepuff, but I identify as a Huffleclaw mostly. My Ilvermorny house is Puckwudgie. My Patronus is a dolphin. Yeah! And my wand is 12 1/4 inches walnut wood with unicorn hair and supple flexibility. I started listening to Swish and Flick in late June 2019, and fast forward to today, late September 2019, and I'm all caught up. I recently became a patron and began listening to the Felix Files. I told myself once I was up to date with the podcast, I would send in my Potter story, so here we go.
Welcome!
Welcome!
Months ago.
Yeah, welcome.
The first time I ever heard of Harry Potter was around 2002 when the second movie was coming out. I was 6 or 7 years old at that time, and my mom's friend was having her kids read the books before seeing the movies. My brother and I begged our parents to read the first Harry Potter book at night, chapter by chapter, before going to bed. I think we got to the second chapter before giving up. My brother, mom, and I continued to go to the theater to see all the movies and enjoyed the time watching together. It wasn't until the summer of 2010 that I picked the books back up again. My grandmother, brother, and cousins and I were preparing for a road trip from Rochester, New York to Chicago, Illinois to visit my uncle. While looking for something to read on the trip, my mom suggested the Harry Potter books. Since I had already seen the movies and had at least a frame of reference, I would begin reading with the 7th book, Deathly Hallows. I decided to start here because I wanted to read the book before seeing the final movie. I fell in love. I couldn't put the book down and began reading the remaining books backwards from 6 to 1 to fill
in
the details that I had missed out needed for watching the 7th movie. I've been in love with the series ever since. They always give me a safe place to return to when going through difficult times. About 2 years ago, I lost 2 of my grandmothers in very close succession. After I fell into a dark, depressive period and had a hard time pulling myself out. During this, I was involved in a 6-year relationship with a guy I thought I would spend the rest of my life with. He broke my heart when I found out he had cheated on me multiple times with multiple different girls. I was broken. I questioned my worth and fell even further into my depressive period. It was almost a year after we broke up that I returned to Potter, where I rekindled my love with the series and helped me work through my darkest periods. When I found Swish and Flick randomly looking for Harry Potter podcasts, I knew it was fate. Every week without fail, you guys make me smile and laugh more than I ever remembered possible. Listening to the podcast is something I look forward to, and although I'm happy to be caught up, it was nice to have all the episodes at my disposal in the beginning. I'm so grateful for you all. You guys truly are amazing and have helped me through a terrible period in my life. Much love, and don't let the muggles get you down.
Wow.
Can I say that the way that you read the books is unusual, but I freaking love it.
Yeah,
you that's do awesome. You, man. It's just like...
That's awesome.
Yes. I have
like,
not heard
I
that.
Feel like that's a very much Sarah way to read a series.
That's well, what I was yeah. thinking.
Yeah.
I love but it.
I'm glad that we're making you laugh and smile.
Yes.
Yeah, that is so sweet. Mm. And yeah,
thank
I
you.
Love how you read the books and... thanks for sharing your story. Thanks for being a part of our community.
Yes.
Yes.
All right, I have a joke picked out already.
Okay.
Jokes.
Ready?
Yep.
What did the Thunderbird say to Newt Scamander? Can I
Lightning.
Be frank with you?
Wait,
can
say
I
it
what?
Again?
Can I be frank with you?
What?
They don't get it.
Saying
because the Thunderbird's name is Frank.
Oh.
You guys are
How
lame.
Would you know
that?
That
was hilarious. He says it in the movie.
He says it.
I've never seen it.
Oh my get god, that's out. A lie.
Oh, I don't remember that.
I thought it was hilarious.
I
maybe,
loved it.
Maybe that's why I didn't laugh.
Damn it.
What a...
What?
I liked it, babe.
Thanks.
Mm-hmm.
Good job.
You can find us on social media on Facebook at Swish and Flick Podcast and on Facebook groups as Swish and Flick Podcast Group. On Twitter, we are at Swish Flick Cast, and on Instagram, we are also at Swish Flick Cast. You can follow your hosts on... hold on. You can follow your hosts, me and Katie, on Twitter and Instagram at the Petrus Family, and Tiffany on Twitter and Instagram at TiffSwish_Flick. Also, Sarah is on Instagram at O'Malley with 3 H's. We love doing Woo! Stories on Instagram when we're together. We'll go live before episodes. So make sure that you turn on your alerts for us so that you can join in on the fun live. Also, if you love our podcast and want to support us, you can be a part of it on patreon.com/swishflickcast. We have different levels where you can donate to us monthly from $2 up to $25, and those levels get you different items. The $5 level will get you access to our Discord channel and the Felix Files, and then up at the $20 and $25 levels, you get access to be on the Felix Files. And Phoenix Plus patrons get our monthly, or our twice yearly subscription box, the Phoenix Plus box. The next one is coming out in July, and you have until May 1st to be a Phoenix Plus patron in order to be eligible for that box, which is being brought to you by Mrs. Norris. The polydactyl cat. Who tied herself up there.
Oh my gosh.
Okay. You can believe those lies if you want.
It's not a lie.
My goodness.
I saw it, and it's true.
Oh, you saw it?
I saw it.
You saw it?
Yep.
You saw it when you were 2 years old?
Yeah. I did.
Cool.
Tiff, what are you doing?
Animal Crossing. What is all of America doing at this moment? And the rest of the world.
Not all of America.
Well.
A lot of it.
A lot of America.
Nintendo Switches are literally sold out everywhere because people bought them.
They are.
Good system.
But Nintendo Switch Lite should be coming out before this episode airs. I think they're coming out April 3rd. So there's that. Yeah, I actually don't know what life is going to look like when this episode comes out. So
right
now, just, you know, playing Animal Crossing and Pokemon and hanging out with my baby girl and loving on the hubs, you know, just life. That's pretty much it.
I'm also playing video games. If I'm being honest, I hope I'm still working from home when this episode comes out because it's been grand. And,
But I hope that
everyone is healthy, and I hope that everyone is staying safe and being smart and finding ways to pass the time. And I love everything that I've been seeing online saying that let us not forget that the arts is what we turn to in this time.
That's what
I'm laughing at.
That the arts is what we turn to in this time to find comfort and things to do. And I love the arts, so I'm really appreciating it. And let's not forget about that, even when things go back to whatever quote normal is anymore. So
I love the meat.
The meat.
I love noodles.
I love noodles.
Oodles of noodles.
I like noodles.
When this episode comes out, I'm gonna have a 6-pack. I'll be totally ripped.
I will say, when this comes out, it's right after Tiffany's birthday.
What up?
Happy birthday, Tiff.
Yeah,
happy birthday, Tiffany.
Happy belated birthday to Tiffany.
What up?
That means I'm next.
Yep. I got a while.
God, you should be so lucky.
Katie literally has just shy of 6 months.
Yeah.
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 Embrace those 20s, girl. They're about to end.
Embrace those 20s. Like, you guys are so much older than me.
It's like, my best friend is literally 6 months older than me, but she is a year ahead of me in school. And she's like, well, blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, Jen, you have to remember, like, you're literally only 6 months older than me. Like, Alex is older than Jen, and Alex was in our grade. I was like, you're not older than me. 6 months.
That's funny.
My goodness.
Other than that, just
is that all?
Crossing.
Yeah, that's it.
Is that everybody?
What about Sarah?
I didn't talk.
Sasa
didn't talk.
She's talked enough.
Tiffany doesn't love me.
Yes, I do.
I don't know what I'm doing with my life. I don't know what it holds. So I'm currently, the Saturday this comes out, I'll be at work. Just trying to survive, man. Live day to day. Support nurses, gotta love them, and
yes,
all those fun things. I don't know. I watched a lot of shows in the last episode I talked about. I might try reading books in the summer, which is coming up. I might try the whole Wheel of Time thing. I heard you need to get like the first book for like through, like the first half of the first book, and then they're really good, allegedly. So we'll see.
All right, you do that.
But yeah, just surviving. Thriving.
All right, well, listeners, we hope that you're all thriving as well. And we love you and stay safe. So that concludes this week's episode. Thank you so much for listening. And don't let the muggles get you down.
Amazing! Just my voice!
We were in Ireland 6 years ago. In case anybody cares about my life.
Super care.
That's a big freeze.
It's a real big freeze. That's the Mr. Freezes of Big Freeze.
I don't know. Yeah. It wasn't you.
All right.
Let me get my book ready, and then we'll start.
Thank you. Thank you for the blessings. Okay.
Bless Tiffany's face.
So, face that I love.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
It's lunchtime at Tim Hortons, and we're serving up a special deal just for you. Our new $5.99 lunch deal includes your choice of any lunch sandwich and a side of crunchy kettle chips. Because what's lunch without a little crunch? And the sandwich choice is all yours. Like a ham and Swiss, Chipotle chicken wrap, BLT, and more. Made to order just the way you like it. Tim Hortons' new lunch deal. Simple, delicious, and just $5.99. Now that's a good deal. Only at your neighborhood Tim's. U.S. only. Price and participation vary. Terms apply.